Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, you'll hear truth that will help you face whatever troubles come into your life with confidence and assurance.
Now, you might be going through some difficulties right now. Troubles and trials are beating on your door, and life has kicked you to the curb, and you're just kind of drowning in the troubles that you have right now. Maybe they're physical, or maybe they're financial, or maybe they're relational, whatever it might be. You're not watching online by accident, or watching on television, or listening on the radio by accident. God wants to speak to your heart. So I want to share with you two rock solid truths that you need to have in your heart, that I need to have in my heart, so that we can face whatever comes with confidence and assurance.
He can heal every scar.
When we get frustrated in life and think everything is against us, we're only looking at the pieces of the story. God sees the whole picture, and He works all things together for our good and His glory. Now, that surely sounds great, doesn't it? But it's really fantastic when you truly believe it and rest in God's promises completely. Thank you for joining us today for From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, who today is going to share two rock-solid truths that will encourage our hearts to rest in God's sovereignty, no matter what circumstances may come our way. The message is called For Good and For Glory, and it's from Pastor Jeff's new 6-message series, More Than Conquerors, a study of Romans chapter 8. This is also our special gift to you to say thanks for your support this month. And you can learn more about that when you go to fromhisheart.org. Now, though, open your Bible to Romans chapter 8 as Pastor Jeff begins the message for good and for glory.
I like what one man said. He said, if the Bible were a ring and Romans its precious stone, chapter 8 would be the sparkling point of the jewel. And so today we want to look at that wonderful verse, Romans 8:28, and the two that follow it. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, you might be going through some difficulties right now. Troubles and trials are beating on your door, and life has kicked you to the curb, and you're just kind of drowning in the troubles that you have right now. Maybe they're physical, or maybe they're financial, or maybe they're relational, whatever it might be. You're not watching online by accident, or watching on television, or listening on the radio by accident. God wants to speak to your heart. So I want to share with you two rock solid truths that you need to have in your heart, that I need to have in my heart, so that we can face whatever comes with confidence and assurance. Truth number one, we can know that God is at work for our good. Based on Romans 8:28 and following, we can know that God is at work and working all things together for good for our benefit. And we know, Paul says in verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good. And we know, that's a word of certainty. Kenneth Wiest, the Greek scholar, he translates Romans 8:28 this way, and we know with absolute knowledge that God causes all things to work together for good. Now, there are lots of things we don't know. He just said in verse 26, and in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses or weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. Well, we don't know how to pray a lot of the time. It says in James chapter 4 that we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what tomorrow holds. So we need to say, as the Lord wills. We read in the Old Testament, King Jehoshaphat in his great prayer, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, he prayed to the Lord. The enemy was coming against him. Three enemies had banded together to destroy God's people. And Jehoshaphat prayed, oh Lord, will you not judge them? For we are powerless against this multitude coming against us. Neither do we know what to do. Well, that describes us a lot of times. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to pray. We don't know what's coming. But we do know with certainty that God works all things together for our good as believers in Jesus Christ. Now notice that verse 28 says all things, that God causes all things, not some things, not most things, not many things, but all things, pas, P-A-S in the Greek, all means all. If you do a Greek study, and it's really good to do a Greek study on the word pas, you'll find that pas means all. It's just right there, all things. So what constitutes all things? Well, sweet things are in all things. And we love it when God is just good to us and God is pouring out blessings. And we say, man, that is good. And God causes the sweet things to work together for our good. But then also the sorrowful things. We don't like the sorrowful things. But God uses the sorrowful things, and he uses the sorrowful things, if you think about it, even more in our lives than the sweet things. We learn more from the difficulties in life than we do from the blessings in life. So the sweet things he uses for good, the sorrowful things, and the scripture talks about in Romans 8 about the sufferings of Christ. Verse 17, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. And Paul says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed to us. But suffering is something we don't like. But God is working all things, even the suffering, together for good. So the good things, the bad things, the sweet things, the sorrowful things. How about this? Even the sinful things, because sinful things are included in all things, even the sinful things, God uses those for good. Now you remember when Peter at the Last Supper, Jesus said, all of you will fall away from me. And Peter said, oh no, Lord, I'll never do that. He said, Peter, before a cock crows twice, you're gonna deny me three times. And then he says to Peter in the Gospel of Luke, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. That means to shake you to the core. But I have prayed that your faith would fail not, and after you're converted, after you turn again, you would strengthen your brothers. Now, Simon Peter sinned greatly when he denied the Lord three times, cursed and swore, said, I don't even know the man. That was a terrible, horrible sin. But God used that sin. The Lord used that sin and worked that sin in such a way that it was a blessing. He worked it together for good. After you're converted, when you turn again, Simon, when you get your heart right with me, Simon, I'm going to use you to strengthen the brothers. And no doubt Simon's failure made him a much stronger believer and a much more compassionate believer. So God works all things together for good. And the second aspect of verse 28, he works all things together for good through the power of the cross. How does this happen that all things work together for good? Now remember this, the verse doesn't say that all things are good. All things are not good. Peter's denial of the Lord was not good. Hey, we have lots of things in our world that are not good. Murder's not good, rape's not good, abortion's not good, theft is not good, abuse is not good. Sex trafficking that we have in our world today, not good. Those are terrible, horrible things. So it doesn't say all things are good. It says that God works all things together for good. And how does God do that? Through the power of the cross. Romans 3:26 is a very key verse. It says in Romans 3:26 that God is just, and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. He is just, which means he's holy, and he judges sin, but he's also the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And so you ask yourself, well, how can God be just and the justifier? How can God forgive sin if he is just? He can only do it through the power of the cross. Because when Jesus died upon the cross, the wrath of God came upon Jesus. Jesus, remember, he was in the garden, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. What was in the cup? Because he prayed three times that the cup would pass from him. What was in the cup was all the sin of all the world, all your sin, all my sin, all the sin of everybody who has ever lived, who will ever live, was in that cup. And Jesus took the cup and drank the cup, and he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So just God punished sin when it was in his son on the cross so that he could be both just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And something as terrible as the cross turned out to be our salvation when we put our faith and trust in Jesus. So how does God do all this stuff? He works it all together through the power of the cross. Interesting, in Exodus chapter 15, we have the great celebration when God's people come through the Red Sea in chapter 14, and then God wipes out the Egyptian army in the Red Sea when they came behind them, and the Lord caused the sea to come back upon the enemies of his people. And in chapter 15, they're dancing and they're singing. The horse and the rider fell into the sea and God delivered us. And in the same chapter, 3 days later, now remember, the parting of the Red Sea was the greatest Old Testament miracle. And if you had been a part of that, I mean, no doubt you would have said, we're following the Lord, we're trusting the Lord. There's nothing that's gonna shake us. God can do anything. 3 days later, they travel in the desert and they have no water, so they start grumbling at Moses. What are we gonna drink? We have no water. Then they come upon a body of water, and the water is bitter. They can't drink it. So they call it Marah, because Marah means bitter. And they grumble at Moses, what are we going to drink? Now, it's not, they're not just 10 people. It's probably 1.5 to 2 million people, plus their animals. They need a lot of water. And so Moses cries out to God, Lord, what do I do? They're grumbling, there's nothing to drink. And the Lord shows him a tree. And he said to him, take the tree and throw it into the bitter water. And when Moses threw the tree into the bitter water became sweet. The tree is a picture of a tree called Calvary, of the Lord's tree, the Lord's cross. And in your bitterness and in your bitter waters, in your difficulties and the things that you don't like, what do you do with those? You give them to the Lord, and he puts the tree of Calvary in that difficulty, and he turns it around for good. He works it together for good. And he works, thirdly, in ways we cannot yet see. I mean, we have trouble because we don't see how God is working. His ways are not our ways. And we think something happens in our life. This is a disaster. This is horrible. Lord, have you forgotten about me? Do you not know that I'm hurting? Do you not know that I'm having these troubles? And God says, hey, I know, I see. I'm working in you even when you don't see it. I'm working in the situation even when you don't see it. Johnny Erickson Tata had that diving accident in 1967, broke her neck, became a quadriplegic in a wheelchair. She was asked about suffering. She knows a lot about suffering because she's suffered a lot. She talks about Philippians 3, the fellowship of his suffering. She said that's something that Christians don't like to talk about, but it's very, very real. And somebody asked her one time about suffering. Why does God allow so much suffering? I loved her answer. She says, God allows what he hates to accomplish what he loves. And suffering is God's choicest tool in shaping the character of Christ in a believer. You think about the suffering that you've gone through in your life. Think about how the Lord used that to draw you closer to him through the fellowship of his sufferings. You know, but we don't see how God is working. But we can know this, that he is working. And we know, even when we don't understand, we just know. We rest in Romans 8:28. I remember I was going through a hard time in ministry some years ago. And my good friend, John Bassanio, he was kind of walking me through some things. John's in heaven now. He's pastor at First Baptist Church in Houston for many, many years. And he just said to me one day, he said, Jeff, Romans 8:28 is still in the book. So just trust the Lord. He is at work through this. The book of Genesis. Joseph was the one, you remember, he was the daddy's favorite. He was Jacob's favorite son. Jacob had 12 sons. He's Jacob's favorite. And he gets a coat for his birthday. The other brothers get a big plate of jack squat. And they don't like that. And so they start hating Joseph. He's the one that has the dreams that his brothers bow down to him. They hate him because of his dreams. They hate him because he's daddy's favorite. They get the opportunity and they sell him into slavery. And he goes from living in Canaan to living in Egypt. He's a slave in Egypt. He's the number one slave that Potiphar ever had, but Potiphar's wife lies about him, said he tried to rape me, ends up being in prison. And so he's there in prison for years. He becomes the number one trustee in prison. The Lord was with Joseph, it says over and over again. And one day he gets elevated from a prisoner to the number two man in all of Egypt by interpreting Pharaoh's dreams. And God was working all this together in his life. Well, he had told Pharaoh, hey, you had some dreams here. There's gonna be 7 years of famine and there's gonna 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And so when the famine hit, it not only encompassed Egypt, but all the surrounding areas. So it hit Jacob and his family. So Jacob told his sons, hey, go down to Egypt. I heard there's food in Egypt. So they go down to get food and they see Joseph, but they don't know it's Joseph. And Joseph recognized them, but they don't recognize Joseph. And what do? They bow down before Joseph, just like his dream said. And Joseph said to them, you are spies. No, we're not spies. We're honest men.
Yeah, right. You're the guys that sold me into slavery. You're honest men. He didn't say that. That was just, he thought that. We're honest men. He said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. He put them in jail for 3 days. And then he took them out and he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take one of you.
Because he found out they had another brother. They said, one of our brothers is no more. And another brother is with daddy. And that was Joseph's full brother, Benjamin. You know, there were four women that were involved in these 12 sons, but Joseph had a full brother. His name was Benjamin. He was the youngest. And so Joseph said, is there another brother? Yeah, we have another brother, Benjamin, but he's at home with daddy. He's daddy's favorite now that Joseph is gone. And so he said, well, here's the deal. I'm keeping Simeon in jail with me. And if you want to come back here and see my face, you bring your youngest brother. So they go home and tell Jacob, dad. They said, dad, this is the thing. We met this guy, the number one guy in all of Egypt, number two man next to Pharaoh. And this is what he told us. We can't get any bread. We can't get grain unless we bring the youngest brother. And this is what Jacob said. And their father Jacob said to them, you have bereaved me of my children. Joseph is no more and Simeon is no more. And you would take Benjamin. All these things are against me. That's how a lot of Christians live. Everything is against me. When I was going through the struggles and I told John Bassanio, it seems like everything is against me. I said, my biggest job at the church is keeping the 50% of the people that don't like me away from the 50% that aren't sure. And it just felt like that, you know? Everything is against me. It's not against you. And Jacob did not see that God was at work in this situation. And God was going to work this together for good. And Joseph wasn't dead. And Simeon wasn't going to remain in the prison. And God was going to provide for Jacob and his whole family. And in Genesis 50, verse 20, we run into this verse where Joseph says to his brothers, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about this present result, to save many lives. Genesis 50:20 is the Old Testament equivalent to Romans 8:28. And so even when you don't know what God is doing, just know that he is working all things together for your good. And then the last thing we learn from Romans 8:28, he works on behalf of those who love him. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. See, this isn't a general promise. This is a conditional promise. It is given to those who belong to the Lord, given to those who love God, who have been called into the family of God, called according to his purpose. So here's the question, do you love God? You know, when you wonder about, am I really a believer? Am I really saved? Well, what are some of the tests? Well, here's a good test. Love is a big test. Do you love the Lord? Do you love his word? Do you love the people of God? Do you love the church? Do you love to be around the family of God? And do you love to obey the Lord? It doesn't mean you do it perfectly, but it means there's a desire in your heart to do that. And when you don't do it, you feel so guilty, you feel so rotten, and you're like, Lord, I'm so sorry I did that. I wanna walk in the light with you. Hey, do you love the Lord? And if you're here and you don't love the Lord, now here's how Romans 8:28 works. If you don't love the Lord, all things work together for bad to those who don't love God, who are not called according to his purpose, because everything works toward your judgment. I remember my oldest brother, Larry, when he was listening to my sermons when I first got in the ministry, I told you that Larry's the oldest in our family, very, very smart, an attorney at a big law firm in Houston, is retired now, but extremely smart. So I would give him my sermons. I would send them to him every week and say, will you listen to this and critique me and let me know if my logic is makes sense or if it's flawed or just give me critique. And so he would do that. And he did this for quite a while. And I remember after a couple of years, I said to him, I said, now, Larry, you're listening to lots of truth. And I said, I'm getting fearful for your situation, for your soul, because to whom much has been given shall much also be required. And if you're listening to truth and not doing anything and not responding to the truth, then all these things are working together for bad for you, because you have not responded to the Lord. You have not responded to the light you've been given. And that's when he told me that he had responded. I said, when did you respond? He said, 6 months ago. I said, when were you gonna tell me? Been praying for you for 20 years. Good night. You thought you could have told me. And so he finally told me, and I showed you that I got to baptize him in 2002, and it was very exciting. So he works all things together for good, and we can know with certainty. That's the first truth from Romans 8:28. But the second truth, we can know that the good that God is working is to make us like Jesus.
And with that, he's got a big job on his hands, because we don't deserve his love. Yet, he offers it to us as a free gift. But like any gift, to get the gift, you have to receive it. You reach your hand and heart out and say, I receive your gift, Lord, and appreciate your love and forgiveness for me. In fact, I bow my heart to you now. I now want to live for you and bring you glory, Lord. That is good when we get to the point that all we want to do is to bring him glory. We'll praise the Lord for his amazing grace. Today, you heard part one of the lesson called For Good and For Glory from Pastor Jeff Shreve's new 6-message series, More Than Conquerors, a study of Romans chapter 8. As we've been learning so far this month in our study of Romans chapter 8, Christians are to live as if Jesus died yesterday, rose this morning, and is coming back tonight. And that keeps us excited to live for the Lord every second of every day. Hey, do you have the anticipation in your heart for the coming of the Lord? Are you longing for the return of Christ? He's coming at any moment. You need to be ready. I need to be ready. And to find out how to be ready and much more, you can get Pastor Jeff's new 6-lesson series, More Than Conquerors, a study of Romans chapter 8. It's our special gift of thanks to you for your support from his heart this month of any amount. In this series, you'll learn how to long for all of creation to come to the glory of the Lord, and you'll want to be a part of that transformation. To get More Than Conquerors in the format of your choice, USB, digital download, CDs, or DVDs, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org and request the series More Than Conquerors when you make your gift. We're going to pause right there for today. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us. Be with us on Thursday as we open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, celebrating our 20th year of broadcasting the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at fromhisheart.org.
God works all things together for our good as believers in Jesus Christ. Now notice that verse 28 says all things, that God causes all things, not some things, not most things, not many things, but all things, pas, P-A-S in the Greek, all means all. If you do a Greek study, and it's really good to do a Greek study on the word pas, you'll find that pas means all. It's just right there, all things. So what constitutes all things? Well, sweet things are in all things. And we love it when God is just good to us and God is pouring out blessings. And we say, man, that is good. And God causes the sweet things to work together for our good. But then also the sorrowful things. We don't like the sorrowful things, but God uses the sorrowful things, and he uses the sorrowful things, if you think about it, even more in our lives than the sweet things. We learn more from the difficulties in life than we do from the blessings in life. So the sweet things he uses for good, the sorrowful things, and the scripture talks about in Romans 8 about the sufferings of Christ. Verse 17, and if children heirs, also heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. And Paul says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed to us. But suffering is something we don't like. But God is working all things, even the suffering, together for good. So the good things, the bad things, the sweet things, the sorrowful things. How about this? Even the sinful things, because sinful things are included in all things, even the sinful things, God uses those for good. Now you remember when Peter at the Last Supper, Jesus said, all of you will fall away from me. And Peter said, oh no, Lord, I'll never do that. He said, Peter, before a cock crows twice, you're gonna deny me three times. And then he says to Peter in the Gospel of Luke, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. That means to shake you to the core. But I have prayed that your faith would fail not. And after you're converted, after you turn again, you would strengthen your brothers. Now, Simon Peter sinned greatly when he denied the Lord three times, cursed and swore, said, I don't even know the man. That was a terrible, horrible sin. But God used that sin. The Lord used that sin and worked that sin in such a way that it was a blessing. He worked it together for good. After you're converted, when you turn again, Simon, when you get your heart right with me, Simon, I'm going to use you to strengthen the brothers. And no doubt Simon's failure made him a much stronger believer and a much more compassionate believer. So God works all things together for good. And the second aspect of verse 28, he works all things together for good through the power of the cross. How does this happen that all things work together for good? Now remember this, the verse doesn't say that all things are good. All things are not good. Peter's denial of the Lord was not good. Hey, we have lots of things in our world that are not good. Murder's not good, rape's not good, abortion's not good. Theft is not good, abuse is not good. Sex trafficking that we have in our world today, not good. Those are terrible, horrible things. So it doesn't say all things are good. It says that God works all things together for good. And how does God do that? Through the power of the cross. Romans 3:26 is a very key verse. It says in Romans 3:26 that God is just, and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. He is just, which means he's holy, and he judges sin, but he's also the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And so you ask yourself, well, how can God be just and the justifier? How can God forgive sin if he is just? He can only do it through the power of the cross. Because when Jesus died upon the cross, the wrath of God came upon Jesus. Jesus, remember, he was in the garden, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. What was in the cup? Because he prayed three times that the cup would pass from him. What was in the cup was all the sin of all the world, all your sin, all my sin, all the sin of everybody who has ever lived, who will ever live, was in that cup. And Jesus took the cup and drank the cup, and he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So just God punished sin when it was in his son on the cross so that he could be both just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And something as terrible as the cross turned out to be our salvation when we put our faith and trust in Jesus. So how does God do all this stuff? He works it all together through the power of the cross. Interesting, in Exodus chapter 15, we have the great celebration when God's people come through the Red Sea in chapter 14, and then God wipes out the Egyptian army in the Red Sea when they came behind them, and the Lord caused the sea to come back upon the enemies of his people. And in chapter 15, they're dancing and they're singing. The horse and the rider fell into the sea and God delivered us. And in the same chapter, 3 days later, now remember, the parting of the Red Sea was the greatest Old Testament miracle. And if you had been a part of that, I mean, no doubt you would have said, we're following the Lord, we're trusting the Lord. There's nothing that's gonna shake us. God can do anything. 3 days later, they travel in the desert and they have no water. So they start grumbling at Moses. What are we gonna drink? We have no water. Then they come upon a body of water and the water is bitter. They can't drink it. So they call it Marah, because Marah means bitter. And they grumble at Moses, what are we going to drink? Now it's not, they're not just 10 people. It's probably 1.5 to 2 million people plus their animals. They need a lot of water. And so Moses cries out to God, Lord, what do I do? They're grumbling, there's nothing to drink. And the Lord shows him a tree. And he said to him, take the tree and throw it into the bitter water. And when Moses threw the tree into the bitter water became sweet. The tree is a picture of a tree called Calvary, of the Lord's tree, the Lord's cross. And in your bitterness and in your bitter waters and your difficulties and the things that you don't like, what do you do with those? You give them to the Lord, and he puts the tree of Calvary in that difficulty and he turns it around for good. He works it together for good. And he works, thirdly, in ways we cannot yet see. I mean, we have trouble because we don't see how God is working. His ways are not our ways. And we think something happens in our life. This is a disaster. This is horrible. Lord, have you forgotten about me? Do you not know that I'm hurting? Do you not know that I'm having these troubles? And God says, hey, I know, I see. I'm working in you even when you don't see it. I'm working in the situation even when you don't see it. Johnny Erickson Tata had that diving accident in 1967, broke her neck, became a quadriplegic in a wheelchair. She was asked about suffering. She knows a lot about suffering because she's suffered a lot. She talks about Philippians 3, the fellowship of his suffering. She said that's something that Christians don't like to talk about, but it's very, very real. And somebody asked her one time about suffering. Why does God allow so much suffering? I loved her answer. She says, God allows what he hates to accomplish what he loves. And suffering is God's choicest tool in shaping the character of Christ in a believer. You think about the suffering that you've gone through in your life. Think about how the Lord used that to draw you closer to him through the fellowship of his sufferings. You know, but we don't see how God is working. But we can know this, that he is working. And we know, even when we don't understand, we just know, we rest in Romans 8:28. I remember I was going through a hard time in ministry some years ago. And my good friend, John Bassanio, he was kind of walking me through some things. John's in heaven now. He's pastor at First Baptist Church in Houston for many, many years. And he just said to me one day, he said, Jeff, Romans 8:28 is still in the book. So just trust the Lord. He is at work through this. The book of Genesis. Joseph was the one, you remember, he was the daddy's favorite. He was Jacob's favorite son. Jacob had 12 sons. He's Jacob's favorite. and he gets a coat for his birthday. The other brothers get a big plate of jack squat, and they don't like that. So they start hating Joseph. He's the one that has the dreams that his brothers bow down to him. They hate him because of his dreams. They hate him because he's daddy's favorite. They get the opportunity and they sell him into slavery. And he goes from living in Canaan to living in Egypt. He's a slave in Egypt. He's the number one slave that Potiphar ever had, but Potiphar's wife lies about him, said he tried to rape me, ends up being in prison. And so he's there in prison for years. He becomes the number one trustee in prison. The Lord was with Joseph, it says over and over again. And one day he gets elevated from a prisoner to the number two man in all of Egypt by interpreting Pharaoh's dreams. And God was working all this together in his life. Well, he had told Pharaoh, hey, you had some dreams here. There's gonna be 7 years of famine, and there's gonna 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And so when the famine hit, it not only encompassed Egypt, but all the surrounding areas. So it hit Jacob and his family. So Jacob told his sons, hey, go down to Egypt. I heard there's food in Egypt. So they go down to get food and they see Joseph, but they don't know it's Joseph. And Joseph recognized them, but they don't recognize Joseph. And what do? They bow down before Joseph, just like his dream said. And Joseph said to them, you are spies. No, we're not spies. We're honest men.
Yeah, right. You're the guys that sold me into slavery. You're honest men. He didn't say that. That was just, he thought that. We're honest men. He said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. He put him in jail for 3 days. And then he took him out and he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take one of you, because he found out they had another brother. They said, one of our brothers is no more. And another brother is with daddy. And that was Joseph's full brother, Benjamin. You know, there were four women that were involved in these 12 sons, but Joseph had a full brother. His name was Benjamin. He was the youngest. And so Joseph said, is there another brother? Yeah, we have another brother, Benjamin, but he's at home with daddy. He's daddy's favorite now that Joseph is gone. And so he said, well, here's the deal. I'm keeping Simeon in jail with me. And if you want to come back here and see my face, you bring your youngest brother. So they go home and tell Jacob, dad. They said, dad, this is the thing. We met this guy, the number one guy in all of Egypt, number two man next Pharaoh. And this is what he told us. We can't get any bread, we can't get grain unless we bring the youngest brother. And this is what Jacob said. And their father Jacob said to them, you have bereaved me of my children. Joseph is no more and Simeon is no more, and you would take Benjamin. All these things are against me. That's how a lot of Christians live. Everything is against me. When I was going through the struggles, and I told John Bassanio, it seems like everything is against me. I said, my biggest job at the church is keeping the 50% of the people that don't like me away from the 50% that aren't sure. And it just felt like that, you know? Everything is against me. It's not against you. And Jacob did not see that God was at work in this situation. And God was going to work this together for good. And Joseph wasn't dead. And Simeon wasn't going to remain in the prison. And God was going to provide for Jacob and his whole family. And in Genesis 50, verse 20, we run into this verse where Joseph says to his brothers, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about this present result, to save many lives. Genesis 50:20 is the Old Testament equivalent to Romans 8:28. And so even when you don't know what God is doing, just know that he is working all things together for your good. And then the last thing we learn from Romans 8:28, he works on behalf of those who love him. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. See, this isn't a general promise. This is a conditional promise. It is given to those who belong to the Lord, given to those who love God, who have been called into the family of God, called according to his purpose. So here's the question, do you love God? You know, when you wonder about, am I really a believer? Am I really saved? Well, what are some of the tests? Well, here's a good test. Love is a big test. Do you love the Lord? Do you love his word? Do you love the people of God? Do you love the church? Do you love to be around the family of God? And do you love to obey the Lord? It doesn't mean you do it perfectly.
But it means there's a desire in your heart to do that. And when you don't do it, you feel so guilty. You feel so rotten. And you're like, Lord, I'm so sorry I did that. I want to walk in the light with you. Hey, do you love the Lord? And if you're here and you don't love the Lord, now here's how Romans 8:28 works. If you don't love the Lord, all things work together for bad to those who don't love God, who are not called according to his purpose. Because everything works toward your judgment. I remember my oldest brother, Larry, when he was listening to my sermons when I first got in the ministry, I told you that Larry's the oldest in our family, very, very smart, an attorney at a big law firm in Houston, is retired now, but extremely smart. So I would give him my sermons. I'd send them to him every week and say, will you listen to this and critique me and let me know if my logic is makes sense or if it's flawed or just give me critique. And so he would do that. And he did this for quite a while. And I remember after a couple of years, I said, now, Larry, you're listening to lots of truth. And I said, I'm getting fearful for your situation, for your soul, because to whom much has been given shall much also be required. And if you're listening to truth and not doing anything and not responding to the truth, then all these things are working together for bad for you. Because you have not responded to the Lord. You have not responded to the light you've been given. And that's when he told me that he had responded. I said, when did you respond? He said, 6 months ago. I said, when were you gonna tell me? Been praying for you for 20 years. Good night. You thought you could have told me. And so he finally told me, and I showed you that I got to baptize him in 2002, and it was very exciting. So he works all things together for good, and we can know with certainty. That's the first truth from Romans 8:28. But the second truth, we can know that the good that God is working is to make us like Jesus.
And with that, he's got a big job on his hands, because we don't deserve his love. Yet, he offers it to us as a free gift. But like any gift, to get the gift, you have to receive it. You reach your hand and heart out and say, I receive your gift, Lord, and appreciate your love and forgiveness for me. In fact, I bow my heart to you now. I now want to live for you and bring you glory, Lord. That is good when we get to the point that all we want to do is to bring him glory. We'll praise the Lord for his amazing grace. Today you heard part one of the lesson called For Good and for Glory from Pastor Jeff Shreve's new 6-message series, More Than Conquerors, a study of Romans chapter 8. As we've been learning so far this month in our study of Romans chapter 8, Christians are to live as if Jesus died yesterday, rose this morning, and is coming back tonight. And that keeps us excited to live for the Lord every second of every day. Hey, do you have the anticipation in your heart for the coming of the Lord? Are you longing for the return of Christ? He's coming at any moment. You need to be ready. I need to be ready. And to find out how to be ready and much more, you can get Pastor Jeff's new 6-lesson series, More Than Conquerors, a study of Romans chapter 8. It's our special gift of thanks to you for your support from his heart this month of any amount. In this series, you'll learn how to long for all of creation to come to the glory of the Lord, and you'll want to be a part of that transformation. To get More Than Conquerors in the format of your choice, USB, digital download, CDs, or DVDs, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org and request the series More Than Conquerors when you make your gift. We're going to pause right there for today. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us. Be with us on Thursday as we open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, celebrating our 20th year of broadcasting the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at FromHisHeart.org.